have seen or experienced anxiety, fear, and depression amid the ongoing Israeli bloodshed.
There are many family problems as a result of the events they have experienced. Men have lost control of their emotions. There have been many problems with women. Children have nightmares and inability to control emotions. They have become nervous and aggressive.
Most of the cases that therapists encounter here in the center are cases of children who suffer from fear and sleep problems, and adults who suffer from insomnia, tension, and extreme anger, as many people no longer have the ability to control themselves.
I have shock. I wake up multiple times because of the shock, and I don't understand what is around me. My children have been affected as well. My daughter is suffering. She has been affected psychologically.
Palestinians in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah are facing water shortages as water pumping systems have ceased to work. The Israeli regime has been accused of directly targeting the water storing and pumping infrastructures. Let's take a listen to some of the Palestinians talking about inaccessibility to water and related problems.
With the existence of more than 800,000 people, given the lack of water, partial lack of water creates a crisis. We are talking about summer and high temperatures, where one needs to shower at least once a day, wash one's clothes and utensils. The lack of this method in pumping water will cause several diseases and epidemics, and the struggle of people in Deir al-Balah is huge. They do not have money to buy water. Whether clean or salty water will require immense efforts to provide the needed amounts of fuel to bypass this crisis for this huge number of people.
We use around 20 to 30 liters daily due to the heat wave. We drink a lot of water and we sweat it out quickly since there is neither cold nor clean water. We plead to the organization to pay attention to the displaced people to get us clean water until God eases this all on us.
We suffer a lot for water. I get very tired to get the water from Zawadi area to get a gallon of water. And diseases are spreading. The water is not clean. It is salty. We want clean water. I also suffer from kidney problems, and I do not have money to buy filtered water.
Well, in the Gaza Strip, the pain and sufferings of those survived the Israeli attacks are growing, and among them are the amputees, whose catastrophic situation has worsened due to the decimation of rehabilitation facilities. Now a young Palestinian physician in central Gaza is providing them with rehabilitation services in displacement camps. Our correspondent Ghada Al-Zabut has more in this story.
In the middle of this genocidal war and the ongoing Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, suffering is increasingly unfolding. Today, we are here to present the story of Mortaz Abudaya. Mortaz led an initiative to help the people around him who are struggling with the amputations they sustained by the Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip. The initiative of this young physiotherapist relies heavily on his volunteer efforts to rehabilitate the amputated limb for the future journey of recovery. What makes this initiative particularly impactful is the deep sense of solidarity it fosters within the community. Mortaz does not only contribute his time and skills, but also provides emotional support to the recipients who are grappling with the trauma of losing a limb in a war zone.
Actually, this initiative is about providing the service of physiotherapy. According to the current circumstances in the Gaza Strip due to this genocidal war and the lack of resources and rehabilitation and physiotherapy centers, I chose to help the injured people with amputations in my area.
In the wake of the complete absence of rehabilitation centers in the Gaza Strip by the Israeli bombing, this man is in urgent need for help. He finds his relief in Mortaz's initiative. This man is trying to cope with the unbearable conditions of life after losing his home. He is also struggling to find water, food, and medications for him and for his family.
I lost both of my legs and my arm is fractured. It is hard for me to move and meet my family's needs, so I appeal to everyone in the world to support my right to a dignified life with my family. The initiative of Dr. Mortaz is very good for the injured people, in the displacement centers particularly.
As we have just seen, this story of suffering is one of thousands. A lot of Palestinians inside these evacuation camps are still suffering and struggling. However, the suffering is multiplied when the person is amputated. This initiative led by Mortaz is trying to reach for the global community and trying to raise awareness about the circumstances of the Palestinian amputated people. Ghada Zabut, the middle area of the Gaza Strip.
All right, moving on. Israel's parliament has passed a resolution that overwhelmingly rejected the establishment of a Palestinian state. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition with far-right parties co-sponsored the resolution. The Oslo Accords, which were first signed between Palestinian and Israeli leaders in 1993, called for a viable and sovereign Palestinian state. But the Israeli regime has pressed ahead with its expansionism, continuing to build illegal settlements across the occupied West Bank. A growing number of countries have recognized the Palestinian statehood, including Spain, Slovenia, Norway, and Ireland. Palestinian and international reactions, meanwhile, are pouring in after the passing of the resolution. The Hamas resistance movement has blasted the decision as invalid, calling the Israeli move a message of defiance to the international community.
The decision of the Zionist Knesset not to allow the establishment of a Palestinian state is an invalid decision issued by an occupying party that has no legitimacy on Palestinian land, and is a Zionist confirmation of the fixed policy based on denying the rights of our Palestinian people and their right, guaranteed by international law, to self-determination like the rest of the peoples of the world.
The Palestinian resistance movement also called the Israeli decision a disregard for UN resolutions and demanded serious international action to stop the criminal decisions. Hamas vowed to continue fight against what it called the fascist war of extermination on Palestinians. The top Palestinian Authority official also said the resolution confirms Israel's racism and disregard for international law. Jordan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the resolution's approval was a dangerous violation of international law. The Secretary General of the Palestinian National Initiative called the resolution a rejection of peace with Palestinians and an official declaration of the death of the Oslo Agreement. Palestinian resistance factions have strongly condemned the controversial visit by the extremist Israeli minister Itamar Ben-Gvir to the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied Old City of Al-Quds. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas blasted Ben-Gvir's visit as provocative intrusion and an attempt to Judaize the holy site. Hamas called on the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the Arab League to take serious action to put an end to the violations. Ben-Gvir broke into the holy compound through the Moroccan gate under the protection of occupation forces. The Palestinian worshippers were then prevented from entering the mosque. Meanwhile, the Islamic Jihad resistance movement said the Israeli minister violated the sanctity of the holy site, noting that its responsibility lies with the countries that normalize relations with the regime. According to the 1967 agreement, non-Muslim worship is prohibited at Islam's third holiest site. The Israeli occupation forces have carried out fresh raids on a number of towns and villages in the occupied West Bank. The IOF opened fire on residents and abducted two Palestinian sisters in one of their incursions into a village near Nablus. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent from Ramallah, Mona Kandil, with more details on the issue.
Unfortunately, the Israeli forces stormed the village of Tel, west Nablus, and as you have mentioned, the Israeli soldiers opened fire at the residents there during the military operation and arrested two sisters from the village of Tel. One of them is a university student. The Israeli troops had also stormed the village of Deir Abu Mash'al, northwest Ramallah, and arrested a number of Palestinians. The total number is still unknown. However, the Israeli forces also raided the village of Beit Liqya, west Ramallah. And in the two villages, five Palestinians had been detained. This is what has been reported in addition to the fact that many Palestinians were arrested in Deir Abu Mash'al, but up to the moment it's not clear. Only five from the two villages had been reported. The cases had been reported. The Israeli forces had also stormed a number of villages in El Khalid, south of the occupied West Bank, the villages of Bani Naim, Hal Houl, Beit Kahel, as well as Al Arub refugee camp, and at least six Palestinians had been detained by the Israeli forces. The Israeli troops stormed as well this morning the the village of Taqwa, north Bethlehem, and arrested at least two more Palestinians. Since the early hours of today, up till the moment we are speaking, about over 15 Palestinians were detained. This is what the Commission of Prisoners Affairs has been or knew about them, in addition to others were arrested as from several areas across the occupied West Bank.
Israel has resorted to the assassination drive in Lebanon amid the regime's failure to stop Hezbollah's retaliatory missile and drone strikes. The Lebanese resistance movement and the Israeli military remain engaged in clashes amid the Gaza genocide. Our Beirut correspondent Mariam Saleh has the latest on the growing tensions along Lebanon's southern border.
Well, after what seemed to be a day of somewhat calm, Hezbollah actually, in some cases, like, for example, on Eid holidays and yesterday because of the Ashura processions, in order for people who are commemorating Ashura, they did keep a low profile yesterday. There were not any major operations. Today, early in the morning at 6:30, the Israelis began a new aggression and launched an assassination, actually a drone attack, targeted a pickup truck in the area of near Gaza, which is in the Bekaa area, actually, the western Bekaa. And so this led to the martyrdom of one of the members of the Jamaa Islamiyya, the Muslim Brotherhood party here in Lebanon, and his name is Muhammad Jubara. And this is not the first member of the Jamaa Islamiyya who has been assassinated by the Israelis through these drone attacks. And the reason why they are targeting members of Jamaa Islamiyya, as they are targeting members of Hezbollah, of course, and commanders of Hezbollah, is because Jamaa Islamiyya is closely cooperating and coordinating with the resistance movement Hezbollah, and is also launching operations despite the fact that they are minimal. We have limited operations, launching of rockets in some areas. They are active, but still, the Israelis have begun this, of course, strategy and this series of assassinations, starting from the assassination of Sheikh Saleh al-Aruri, a prominent figure of Hamas in the southern suburbs of Beirut, and that basically began a lot of assassinations that seem to target individual vehicles in order to assassinate specific members of either Hezbollah or Jamaa Islamiyya. And even in some instances, we had assassinations of Hamas members.
The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement has called on all Muslims around the world to wage an all-out war on Israel. Abdul Malik al-Houthi said that for the 10th month now, the Israeli regime continues its genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza in collusion with certain regional and Western states. He slammed some hypocritical Arab regimes for betraying the Muslim world by supporting the Israeli regime. Al-Houthi noted that neighboring countries of Palestine have vast sums of money and capabilities, but they provide food and goods to the Israeli regime instead of starving Palestinians. The Israeli leaders asserted that hypocrites stir up strife among Muslims, distracting them from the real enemies. Al-Houthi also condemned the U.S. as a real partner in all of Israel's acts of savagery. He has once again vowed to press ahead with anti-Israeli operations at all levels until the final victory. Houthi called on Yemeni people to come out again in a million-man march in support of Gaza on Friday. And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now. Thank you.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The morning ceremonies held for Imam Hussein in Yazd. Grieving has always been a way to express sadness, a way to somehow find sense for a loss. A process that might just lessen the burden of intense sorrow. But sometimes that loss is greater than any other in life. Sometimes that deep feeling of pain will never fade, all because of a tragic event. We set off to the ancient province of Yazd, one of the oldest regions in the world, the region of wind towers, mud brick houses, and winding lanes, the center for religious ceremonies and festivals, a place filled with ancient religious sites and worshippers who live with honor and dignity. These people have been mourning the loss of a great martyr for centuries, an eternal pain that has wounded their hearts and bruised their souls. When the month of Muharram arrives, the people of Yazd grieve. They come together in mosques and lament the death of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the man who gave up his everything for a greater cause, the ever eternal martyr who is known as the seeker of justice. For many years, the people of Yazd have been mourning the tragic death of Imam Hussein, all to show their love and respect for a man who stood up against injustice, corruption, and tyranny. The mourning ceremonies held for Imam Hussein is quite varied and different in various parts of Iran. Each region has its own unique way for grieving, based on the culture of the people. The people of Yazd mourn for their Imam in their own special way. Each one has been passed on from one generation to the other, and today a variety of these religious ceremonies are held in different cities and villages of the province. In Mehriz, one of the oldest habitations of this area, people mourn for Imam Hussein in their own unique way. One of them is Alam Gardani, where they use a wooden pole dressed with cloth with flags on top that symbolizes the truth and bravery. In the ancient village of Khabidak, people come together to form a big circle, and while they tie their arms together and move anti-clockwise, they chant poems lamenting the death of their imam. This ritual is called Jushdore and has been around for more than 150 years. In the city of Ashkezar, people make a wooden structure, a symbolic representation of the imam's coffin, and carry the nakhl from one place to another. This is called Nakhl Yardani. They also perform passion plays that reenact the death of Imam Hussein. These plays are called Taziyeh. Another common way of grieving here in Yazd is chest beating, where people beat their chests while elegies are sung by a poet known as the Nohe Khan. These elegies are always eloquent and based on the truth. They're filled with lament and grief, as well as a whole lot of praise and respect for the imam. Joseph is an archaeologist who has a lot of interest in Iran's religious culture, customs, and traditions. He has come to Iran many times during the past 6 years, but this year he managed to see the Muharram ceremonies here in Yazd from up close. Imam Hussein was slain, his children in pain, and all women in chains. The sound of cries, the orphan sighs, the land of Karbala filled with blood and flames, everyone in agony and cruelty to blame. To travel is to learn new things. A journey has so much to teach us and a lot to offer. Those who seek the truth find this path as an opportunity to gain a new understanding. The travelers who come to Yazd in the month of Muharram intend to learn more about these religious ceremonies and explore new meanings and concepts. They take part in the rituals to understand who the Imam was and why people love and respect him so much.
I come from Poland, from Europe. This is my second time in Iran. I came back after 3 years. I'm Christian, Catholic, and this time I'm very happy to participate in Muharram and in Ashura. Because for us as Europeans, this is a completely different experience.
When I was sitting watching the ceremony and listening to all the men sing and beat their hearts with their hands, it was very moving, made me cry. It was very, very spiritual moment for me.
Love and admiration connect people together beyond borders. Here, nationality, language, religion, and beliefs fade away, and only affections tie the hearts together, one by one.
Well, I'm very interested in the history and the culture of Iran, and so we were traveling around the country, and for us it was very important to see the ceremony about the Imam Hussein.
The people's love for Imam Hussein is special and endless. In this sea of admiration, respect and loyalty, differences fade away.
I'm Bilge, from Turkey, and it's first time in Iran, and I came here for especially the Ashura ceremony. I saw that ceremony before in Istanbul, we had as well, but it's not like huge this. It's so traditional, and it's really impressive because this is a very small village here, but many people came here for that ceremony. And it's really organized. It.
I think I'm happy to be here, to see what they do here. And I think I respect the religion here.
Although about 1,400 years have passed from the tragic death of Imam Hussein and his companions, his loyal followers come together every year to keep the flames of his love burning and his memory alive. The onlookers stand, captivated by the people's love and faithfulness.
Before coming here, I thought that people who are not Shia Muslims are not allowed to participate in this ceremony. But now I am just overwhelmed by this unique experience. I've never had, I've never participated in the ceremonies like that before.
The amount of respect that these people have for their Imam can truly be felt by one's heart and soul. No matter what your religion is or with what language you speak, you can still feel the deep affection that the people have. Joseph has tried so many times to see the Muharram ceremonies in Iran, but each time his trip has been cancelled. This time, though, he's been lucky.
So we are here in Ashkazar, and it's very, very impressive. I feel really a big emotion because here it's very huge. And as you can see, a lot of people, and it's really, really impressive. Really impressive how still today Imam Hussein gives to people the sense, the idea of freedom, and also of the sacrifice that each man must do to be free and to purchase his own desire and his own goals. And also the idea of justice, because yes, Imam Hussein was against the bad government or the right government. So I think it's a really important message for the people today, not just for the Muslim countries, but also for all around the world, I think. I'm not saying this. I read that also, I don't know, Mahatma Gandhi and also writers and philosophers wrote about the Imam Hussein. So I think it's a big figure for all the humanity.
During his journey from Mecca to Karbala, Imam Hussein stated, "The purpose of my journey is to expose the anti-Islamic and tyrannical rule of Yazid, to encourage the performance of good deeds and prohibit what is forbidden and unlawful, and to resist and stand up to repression and tyranny. My only objective is to support the Holy Quran and to revive genuine Islam." Imam Hussein gave up his life for his mission, one that promoted values like freedom, sacrifice, bravery, trust, patience, perseverance, devotion, and sincerity. Imam Hussein's story is not just for the Shia Muslims, it's for the entire humanity. People also give away free food to charity on these mournful days. The food is considered holy for anyone who eats it or makes it. It's a kind of offering made to God in honor of Imam Hussein's martyrdom. The Imam Husseini House in Yazd invites people in for free food every year in Muharram. This 200-year-old house is still the main center for holding religious ceremonies related to Imam Hussein. It's a place where people come together to mourn for their imam and show their respect to him. The Battle of Karbala took place between a small group of supporters and relatives of Imam Hussein and a larger military force of Yazid I, the Umayyad Khalif. It was a battle between good and evil, between life and death. A tragic event that led to the killing of Imam Hussein and his companions. The enemy not only deprived Imam and his people of water, but also looted and burned the tents, stripped the women of their jewelry, and plundered the dead bodies. Imam Hussein sacrificed his life and the lives of his children and companions to save humanity from the agents of hate, tyranny, and oppression. He intended to stand against the newly introduced monarchic system of government and to expose the misleading path introduced in the name of Islam. He wanted to shake the Muslim conscience and revive dignity and honor once again. Imam Hussein stepped up and offered 72 lives of his kin to save Islam and spread the universal message of truth, justice, and love for humanity. He fought with grace, valor, and courage. His name will always shine in history like no other. Imam Hussein's message of defiance against oppression and dictatorship is relevant for all times and applicable for a broader audience for generations to come.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين
لا لبيك يا حسين.
Dear audience, this is لبيك يا حسين. We recorded some programs in form, about five or six programs, about the preliminary discussions about this grave and important event of Ashura. And we promise you to travel to Iraq in order to report for you some first-hand experience of ours here in between the holy shrines of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and also the holy shrine of Hazrat Abbas, a location which is called Bain al-Haramain in Islamic tradition. Today I'm also very honored to have a guest, Dr. Fani, and I think you're familiar with him because of our previous discussions. So hello, Dr. Fani, and welcome to our program.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. As you remember, we talked about a variety of things concerning this historical and prominent event of Ashura, and we started with the philosophy of it, and you recited some parts from the Holy Quran and some ahadith and the rest of it. So, shall I ask you to explain for us, you know, the context or the historical, you know, precursors of Ashura, what happened in terms of history, you know, and the context of the time?
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Let's salute Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes, assalamu sure.
alayka ya Abu Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik. Alayka minni salamullah abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar. Wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahd minni li ziyaratikum. Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. We salute Imam Hussein and those who sacrificed their lives under his command. His son, his companions, all his relatives and non-relatives, companions of him. And we salute all of them. And we wish and we hope that we will be registered among the people who are on the side of Imam Hussein in the course of history, in fighting for truth and fighting the enemies of truth.
So thank you very much.
With regard to your question, I have to make an introduction about this issue, and I should say, in terms of divine leaders, we have in the history prophets and the successors of the prophets who are imam. Prophets and imams in their regular life are people like other peoples. It is the holy verse of Quran when it's talking about the holy prophet says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. O prophet, tell to these people, I am a human being like you. But it adds to it, يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. God is sending me revelations, وَحِي, the messengerhood. Prophet is a messenger of God. He has a special relation with God. He is not educated like regular people. He is getting knowledge and power by God. As prophethood is a divine mission, the succession of the prophet who are called Vasi or Imam, they are having a similar mission, meaning they are not educated like regular education as we receive in our schools, but they have special knowledge, they have a special power, and these powers and knowledge are bestowed upon them by God. So they, when the prophets start their invitation to the people, they go by daily life. They meet people, they invite them, they talk to them. They have enemies, they fight with them. They move from one place to another. They have interactions with people, with friends, with foes, and so forth. The same thing is for our imams. Imama for the issue of divine leadership is a substitute for the guidance of people after the demise of the Holy Prophet.
Right.
We have a lot of narrations and hadiths which says the successors of our Holy Prophet are 12 people. So there are 12 people who are succeeding the Holy Prophet.
So you think that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not silent about who should be his successor?
Of course. Actually, the issue of Khilafah or succession is meaningless if somebody comes and says, I am the successor. You cannot trust that person unless he is introduced by the original person, I mean here, the Prophet. If the Prophet does not say, this man or that man is my successor, then how can one person come and claim that because people voted for me, for example, then I am the successor of the Prophet. So if you have any questions about Quran, about revelation, then you are supposed to ask me. This person who is selected by people might be an ignorant person. It might be a power-loving person. Or somehow he has misled people that I am a nice person. So this position of Imama is not a materialistic position, a worldly position. It is a divine position meant to lead people to the path of Allah. And one who wants to be the leader has to be already led by God, getting his information and knowledge by God. So that's why we say we have ilm-e wahbi, means a knowledge which is bestowed to them from God. They don't go to regular schools.
Thank you very much indeed. Dear audience, we are in a location which is called Bain al-Haramain, directly from Iraq. Thank you.
Hope you have instilled in our heart, in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul, in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new land.
So, Dr. Fani, as you were, as a preliminary or as an introduction to my question, you talked a little bit about the idea of Imama in Islam. So, let's get down to the history. What can you tell our audience about the history of Karbala?
Well, by that introduction, I was going to get to this point, that the mission of Imam Hussein in Ashura, it developed through certain events in the history. And the actions of Imam Hussein are within the interaction of Imam Hussein al-Islam with the society,
right,
with the world at that time, with the leaders at that time. So just to have a very brief review of the events in the history, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the son of Imam Ali and brother of Imam Hussein, he is the second Imam. As I mentioned in the past, that the Prophet of Islam said, Al-Hassan wal-Hussein imaman qama aw qa'ada. Imam Hassan and Hussein had both are imams. If they sit down or uprise, if they make peace or do revolution. So at the time of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, because of those situations, which I don't want to get into details of that, Imam Hassan finally ended up with an agreement with Muawiyah and made a peace to safeguard the life of people who were very few, and they were in line with Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And by making this peace, he could save the life of the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who were under attack by Muawiyah and his people. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, after the shahada and martyrdom of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, became Imam. And since then, some people were inviting him that you deserve to be our leader. Imams are Imam, meaning Imam Hussein or Imam Hassan. If they are politically assigned as a leader or not, it doesn't matter. The position of imamah or divine leadership is not
selected by people,
does not have any approval from the people, like prophethood. The prophet is a prophet, even if a prophet like Noah. He was prophet for 900 years and maybe 20 people followed him. It doesn't matter. One person follows you or not, the prophet is a prophet, the imam is the imam. Some people came and invited Imam Hussein to be the political leader. Imam Hussein alayhi salam declined, and he said, because of the covenant of my brother with Muawiyah, we are still with peace with Muawiyah. So I'm not going to do anything against that agreement. After the demise of Muawiyah, when he became dead, he assigned his son before his death, and that started the events of Ashura.
Okay, dear audience, that was a discussion about the historical events, precursors of the event of Ashura. So at the end of this program, I'd like to express my salutation to the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Assalamu ala al-Husayn, wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn, wa ala awlad al-Husayn, wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Thank you very much indeed. Goodbye.
Every clean soul and display.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel's indiscriminate strikes killed more Palestinians across Gaza, as the total death toll nears 38,850. Far-right Israeli Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir tours Al-Aqsa Mosque, drawing anger from Palestinians who see such visits as provocative. Also in the headlines, an Israeli drone strike in eastern Lebanon kills a member of the pro-resistance Al-Jama'at al-Islamiyah party. This is news. Thanks for joining us. We begin this bulletin with Gaza, where Israel's indiscriminate bombing and shelling campaign continues unabated, claiming more civilian lives in the blockaded territory. Nearly two dozen civilians have lost their lives in the latest Israeli airstrikes that targeted several locations across Gaza. One of the attacks happened on Cairo School, housing the displaced Palestinians in Gaza City, resulting in the death of nearly 11 people, including three children. The regime has recently focused its attacks on refugee camps, with the deadliest being Saturday's raid on the Al-Mawasi camp, killing over 90 Palestinians. Israel claimed that Palestinian resistance fighters used these places, but Hamas has denied the accusation, saying the regime is trying to cover up its massacres. The Palestinian death toll since October the 7th now stands at around 38,850. Our correspondent Mutiaba Musaba joined us earlier from central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah to give us the latest on the situation in the besieged strip.
Let me begin with the appalling massacre that was committed over the last night when the Israeli fighter jets attacked and destroyed a residential building in Az-Zawaida town. At least nine Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children, were slaughtered while they were sleeping inside the house. In the meantime, another attack took place in Al-Burej refugee camp when the Israeli fighter jets also destroyed another house there. Two Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed as a consequence. Meanwhile, two Palestinians were killed in a civilian car that was hit moments ago in Deir al-Balah city by the Israeli fighter jets. Two Palestinian civilians were slaughtered till this moment. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery continued to shell and attack the eastern parts of Deir al-Balah and al-Musaddar town in the eastern part of the central area of Gaza Strip. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained and continued against the eastern parts of the city, basically Abasan and Bani Suhaila towns. When it comes to Rafah city, as you know, the Israeli occupation forces continued to detonate more Palestinian residential squares in addition to the chronic and the ceaseless artillery shelling targeting the central area of Rafah city. Needless to mention that the current situation on the ground is still over tragic for the Palestinian people who are still being deprived of having any access to the basic humanitarian needs, as the Israeli occupation forces are still closing Rafah crossing and preventing any entry of the humanitarian supplies to the entire population in Gaza Strip.
Over 9 months of genocidal war in Gaza has amplified mental health problems among Palestinian families and children living in the besieged territory. Let's take a listen to some of the Gazans who have seen or experienced anxiety, fear, and depression amid the ongoing Israeli bloodshed.